Ya son 11 años que ella está sufriendo con esta enfermedad. Solo Dios sabe cuándo la...
This is Maria. She lives in the Texas Rio Grande Valley. Maria is telling a journalist named Raquel Torres about her mom, Isabel, who has had Alzheimer's disease for at least 11 years. And for all of that time, Maria has been Isabel's primary caregiver, and it's breaking her.
Pues te deprime de verla, de ver cómo está, cómo cambia, cómo de ser tu mamá termina siendo tu hija.
Raquel is a health disparities reporter in the Texas Rio Grande Valley for Public Health Watch, an investigative nonprofit newsroom. She's been reporting on Maria and Isabel's story, and it is often heartbreaking.
Yes, so Maria has told me that there have been times when Isabel hits her and she throws temper tantrums. And that can be very frustrating when it happens several times a day.
Siento que voy a perder la paciencia con ella y no quiero darle un golpe o no quiero...
Maria compared Isabel like her daughter. So Isabel, you know, imagine a teenager crying on their bed. And after these temper tantrums, Maria has to be the one to console Isabel and tell her, hey, it's okay. You know, even though she's angry herself, you know?
Tanto trabajo, tanto esfuerzo con ellos, tanto ponerle atención. Y es un poco desgastante porque si te cansas, te agotas, pero no puedes hacer nada porque pues ellos, es su enfermedad la que se los está comiendo.
Maria was so honest with me. She told me that she had to cut back her hours of caregiving. So she got her friend to help her because she was so exhausted. She was afraid she was going to lash out on Isabel. She was afraid she was going to hit Isabel. She was afraid she was going to yell at Isabel.
It was a crisis, right? So Maria and Isabel enrolled in a class called Caregiver SOS.
So the purpose is to focus on the caregiver specifically and help them find ways to relax in the middle of what can feel like not just a full-time job, but a never-ending job for them.
Me enseñó por decir cómo respirar para calmarme, cómo controlar cuando estoy enojada, que ponte a pintar, que ponte a...
And so through these caregiver classes, she's learned to take a minute to breathe, to ask for help when she needs it. And that's what she finally worked up the courage to do, she tells me.
Alzheimer's disease is the most common form of dementia, impacting 1 in 9 adults over 65 in the United States, where Maria and Isabel live, in what Texans call the RGV. That number spikes. 1 in 4 people, so 25% of the people over 65 in Starr County alone, is living with Alzheimer's. Starr is one of 4 counties in the RGV, which is a region that stretches across more than 4,000 square country miles and consumes the very bottom tip of Texas. So you have the Gulf to the east, the Rio Grande to the west, and beyond that, Mexico.
It's vast. It has a large population. However, it's very difficult to find resources for people living with dementia. Really, the only resources that I could find, other than, you know, seeing a neurologist, which there's a shortage of, was programs focused on the caregiver, not people currently living with dementia. So if anyone doesn't have Medicaid, they're pretty much forgotten. They're pretty much left behind.
In fact, Raquel tells me, Texas is behind, way behind, in how it funds dementia care and support, even though it ranks 2nd in the nation for Alzheimer's deaths and 3rd in prevalence. Almost 500,000 people have the disease, and 1.1 million more, including Maria, are their caregivers. But apparently the slogan, "Everything's Bigger in Texas," does not extend to its investment in memory care or support for patients or caregivers. It spends a fraction of what is spent by states like Florida, New York, and even Georgia, which has fewer than half as many dementia cases as Texas. And add to that the Lone Star State's ongoing refusal to expand Medicaid and looming federal cuts. Well, Raquel wrote all about this for Public Health Watch and then sat down with me to talk about it and the potential $3 billion plot twist, a funding proposal that may change the game if voters say yes in November. From Texas Public Radio, this is Petri Dish. I'm Bonnie Petri.
Support for Petri Dish is made possible by UT Health San Antonio's Mays Cancer Center, South Texas NCI-designated cancer center, providing cancer care for patients, advancing research, and educating the next generation of leaders. Mays Cancer Center is working to end cancer in South Texas and beyond. Learn more at mayscancercenter.org.
TPR tells the stories of our city, our struggles and our triumphs. Leaving a legacy gift to Texas Public Radio helps keep those stories alive. Find out how to create your legacy at tpr.org/legacy.
On a crisp winter morning in February 2025, Dr. Gladys Maestri was preparing to hopefully persuade South Texas lawmakers to support a plan to set aside some money to pay for care and resources for people living with dementia and their caregivers in the Rio Grande Valley.
I visited the 11 offices of the representatives of the Valley. I went and sat down sometimes with them, sometimes with the chief of staff. At least of the
Raquel Torres interviewed Dr. Maestri for her story on the mounting dementia crisis in the Rio Grande Valley.
She's a neuroscientist from Venezuela, and she runs the region's only memory clinic.
A memory clinic is a place where you could go for treatment for Alzheimer's and related dementias. You could get diagnosed there, and sometimes patients can be enrolled in clinical trials to test new interventions.
For many people, this is the only way they can get treatment.
Raquel says because of that, the waiting list to be seen there is very long.
When I visited the region's only memory clinic at the University of Texas Rio Grande Valley in Harlingen, 600 people were on a wait list to see a neurologist at the clinic. Imagine that.
Yeah, imagine that. You're starting to have symptoms that suggest you may be experiencing the beginnings of cognitive decline and you are worried about it. So you make an appointment to see a specialist for tests and maybe a diagnosis and discover that you are the 600th person in line. Yeah, there is a shortage of neurologists in the Valley.
A dire shortage. And so this is creating very long wait lists for people who need a memory test, for people already noticing their cognitive decline. And so why is this an issue? Because as soon as you notice cognitive decline, you should get that looked at. Because after a certain point, you can no longer be eligible for all of the newer treatments.
And without hands on deck, even if you do manage to finagle some of the equipment you need, what are you going to do with it?
She shared actually that they have radiation equipment that is brand new, so expensive, new and shiny, but it's been sitting there for months because there's no one to work it. There's no one licensed, certified to operate that. And so what happens? She has to send these people to Houston. She has to send them to San Antonio. And for someone who is a senior, that's very difficult to do. You have to figure out transportation. You have to figure out if you can afford it. You have to pay for your meals. You know, if you don't take a cooler with a sandwich in Capri Suns, which is what my mom would do. But this is what Dr. Gladys Maestri told me. She said that it weighs heavy on her when she has to do that.
So that morning in February, Dr. Maestri was in Austin trying to think of ways to impress upon these politicians the urgency of the situation to the South.
She was thinking about all the people on her wait list. She was thinking about all of the patients she sees in the Valley. And really, that was her message to legislators that day. The Valley specifically needs more neurologists, needs more memory clinics. That was her mission. So Gladys Maestri actually went on a mission specifically to advocate for her patients, for the patients of the Rio Grande Valley who traveled to Harlingen from cities all over for a chance to get into the memory clinic, for a chance to see a neurologist and to get treatment, to get a memory exam.
So, Raquel, you said in your story that Maestri was there in Austin to fight for resources for those living with dementia and their caregivers, because you wrote that Texas just isn't getting it done.
We spend $2.71 million a year on dementia programs, which provide caregiver support, which provide, you know, programs for people in the thick of it. Comparing this to other states like Florida, New York, Georgia, Georgia is going to spend $10 million. New York will spend $33 million. Florida will spend $80 million this year. And so we can see how Texas falls short in Alzheimer's care funding.
Maestri met with those South Texas lawmakers for hours to make her case.
Of the 11, at least four cried. In my impression, all of them have somebody nearby with the disease.
She said the lawmakers had a lot of questions, good questions.
Very personal questions. You could see that they had firsthand experience. So I saw a lot of enthusiasm because many of them have somebody with dementia and some of them were scared.
Maestri left that day feeling mucha esperanza. A lot of hope. But when the legislature adjourned its biannual session in June, it did so without delivering the funding changes Maestri had fought so hard for. Raquel wrote for Public Health Watch that the $2.71 million they'd approved for dementia care over the next year was less than 1/25th of what Florida will spend in 2025. There was nothing to directly help patients or their caregivers. Nothing for Maria or Isabel.
And so that's what happened in this session. Legislators failed to increase that budget for people living with dementia and their caregivers. Instead, what they did was pull money out of our budget surplus, and they want to allocate that to research.
Wait, back up. What did you just say there?
Yes, legislators, they want the funds allocated in the Dementia Research Fund to go toward research.
And when Raquel says funds, she's talking about real money here. Billions with a B.
Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick has been pushing for this Dementia Prevention Research Fund, which pulls $3 billion out of Texas's nearly $33 billion budget surplus and allocates that for dementia research.
And next, it goes before Texas voters.
$3 billion will be pulled out of our nearly $33 billion budget surplus from the general fund, and this will go toward research.
That cash would then create what would be called the Dementia Prevention and Research Institute of Texas. So what would that be exactly? We'll tell you when Petri Dish continues.
Support for TPR comes from the University of Texas at San Antonio's Brain Health Consortium, a pioneering research hub advancing neuroscience, neuroengineering, precision medicine, and more. Learn more at utsa.edu/BHC.
Welcome back to Petri Dish. I'm Bonnie Petri. Texas State Representative Aaron Gomez represents a section of the Rio Grande Valley that includes part of Cameron County. Cameron County's right next door to Hidalgo County. And for her, the fight for resources for Alzheimer's programs is personal. Her grandfather died of the disease.
When we talk about the statistics of the valley, and we talk about Hidalgo County being the third and the fourth highest prevalence of Alzheimer's in Texas, my family is part of that statistic. And it hurts when you look at it like that, because this is something that's so terrible and painful. And then you go, oh my goodness, there are hundreds of thousands of families suffering the same way.
Public Health Watch reporter Raquel Torres reached out to Gomez after the legislature passed a law that, if voters also agree to pass it, will create the Dementia Prevention and Research Institute of Texas.
When we hear legislators talk about this, like Senator Joan Huffman, who co-authored this bill, like Representative Tom Craddock of West Texas, who pushed for this bill as well, what they talk about is boosting medical research. And we can see how this helps business in Texas, how this attracts people to come to our state. But also what can happen with DPRIT is it's not specific in the fact that this will go specifically to people living with dementia. This will give treatment to the people who are underserved. DPRIT makes no promises of that. And the biggest thing that researchers are worried about is that this geographically isolated area of the Rio Grande Valley, they're worried that it will again be forgotten compared to other higher education institutions in Houston, Austin, Dallas, who will be competing for the same funds. And what this bill didn't do was allocate funds to the areas with the highest need. Those are really the disparities in the bill that researchers are worried about.
Raquel asked Gomez about that.
The Valley is directly, we hope, going to be a beneficiary of some of these grants and programs. In particular, we have UTRGV's medical schools. We have an Alzheimer's Disease Resource Center in the Valley. And I'm really looking forward to aligning that with DPRIT, whose main goal, you know, is the prevention, treatment, and development of all types of cures and hopefully alleviations of this illness.
DPRIT will be modeled after the existing CPRIT, the Cancer Prevention and Research Institute of Texas, which, according to its annual report, has awarded well over 3 billion kits or research dollars to institutions across Texas.
What DPRIT does is promote the research of new therapies, of new protocols. And so is research needed? Absolutely. If we look at the trajectory of this disease, 460,000 people live with dementia in Texas. And not only are there 460,000 people living with dementia in Texas, but they also require the attention of 1.1 million caregivers.
And it's those people, the ones in the thick of it, as Raquel noted, that won't get any direct relief from these billions of dollars. Raquel asked Rep. Gomez about that, too.
My heart goes out to them. As a family, just personally experience this. You know, but it can be mentally, physically, and financially crippling to your family. And I would love for them to reach out, contact their representative, contact their locals, and say, how can we immediately take advantage of this as soon as it's enacted in November? I would love, you know, the more families that we have reach out, that those are the data and the stats that we need in these grant applications to their communities.
Which would be great, right? But it will not help Maria while she is buckling under the weight of constant caregiving and who is now preoccupied with concern about looming federal cuts to programs like Medicaid. She and her mother are already feeling it.
There was a program called Memory Cafe where a bunch of caregivers and people living with Alzheimer's actually show up to this cafe and they share a cafecito and they just talk. It's a support group. This was canceled in July because of budget cuts to county health departments. And so we can see how these cuts directly affect people like Maria and Isabel.
And that's where we are now. The path forward for South Texas, the rest of the state, and the entire country, it's just not clear.
The worst part about covering stories like this is knowing Marie and Isabel will continue to live every day how the story describes, you know, until the end of Isabel's life. And that's really the discrepancy between $3 billion in research and families suffering every day.
This is a tough subject, right? And it's not going to get any easier over the next several years as our population continues to get older. And though journalists are supposed to be tough, I've been one for a really long time, I know we never stop being human. So I asked Raquel to reflect a little bit on her experience learning about Maria and Isabel's lives.
The hardest thing covering the story has to be, we live our entire lives trying to create memories with our loved ones that we never want to forget, right? We never want to forget when we, our first accomplishments, like, when we graduated college or when we got our first job or when we, you know, we want to remember the milestones when you had your first child, when you bought your first home, even the little things like a walk in the park with your dog while the leaves are falling.
Como mi mamá, ella ya no va a recordar nada, ni, pero sí son momentos en que uno va a guardar y va a recordar con el tiempo.
But you could lose all of those memories. And Maria described it perfectly. She said,
era un arbolito en Navidad, ya vi que hay muchos focos. Dice, así está el cerebro, se le van apagando los poquitos, se le van apagando.
I imagine my mom's mind like a Christmas tree. She has lots of lights, but the light bulbs, they're flickering, they're burning out. Dementia affects the brain. Little parts of your brain, they stop functioning. And so Maria wants her mom's life to be as bright as possible until the last light finally dies.
Thank you. Thank you, Raquel. That is Raquel Torres of Public Health Watch, and you can read her story and much more at their website or at tpr.org. This episode of Petri Dish was produced by Jacob Rosati, TBR Vice President of News, Dan Katz, and me, reporting by Raquel Torres, Health Disparities Reporter at Public Health Watch. Jacob Rosati also composed all the music, created the sound design, and edited the script. Yvette Benavides edited the story at TBR.org. Petri Dish is a production of Texas Public Radio. I'm Bonnie Petri. Talk to you soon.